Hey, it's Movies on a Monday. Yeah, I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt. And Terrence, I'm going to do something fun here. You ready? I've got two prior conversations that we've had on Movies on a Monday that I didn't have all of the pieces to be able to talk about. So we're going to back up. Let's back up to last week. We talked about Top Gun. I rewatched the original Top Gun. And one comment you made is, you know, you didn't like Top Gun because it didn't have any black people in it. I watched it. I'm like, there was one. I found one. But here's the only reason I bring it up. The one black guy in it is actually the guy from Die Hard who was Hans Gruber's like tech guy.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I know him. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I'm like, that is worth mentioning because I don't see that guy in too much other stuff.
Wow. I'm glad you went back to watch Top Gun. Okay. To be fair, in almost every single, whether it's a movie or TV show, they always try to throw in at least one black person. It's not a part of the main cast. They might be even a black rock. They might even give them two or three lines. But besides that, they're not there. They would not affect the show or the movie.
Your point still stands. Yeah, it's like, oh, it had no black. Okay, it had one black guy. But again, he was, he had lines. But still, when it's just one, that there still needs to be. That's not indicative of actual like ethnicity ratios there. So your point, you still have the point. I just wanted to comment on how he was in Die Hard.
Fair enough.
Now this one, I do have to take some points away from you because I finally got around to watching Scream. Now, here's what's funny. God. When we talked about Scream to begin with, I hadn't seen it, and Terrence brings it up.
Just so everybody knows, we're talking about the Scream that just came out.
Thank you for clarifying it. Yeah, they don't have anything different about it. It's not like, you know, Fast and the Furious, when it's like, the first one is The Fast and Furious, and number four is just Fast and Furious. This is legitimately, they named another one Scream. That's it. They have, they're like, we're just going to do it again. We can name it that. It's fine.
Nobody's paying attention.
It's stupid. But you pointed out, like, when you first brought it up, you're like, oh, by the way, these are the people who did it. I kid you not, I knew what you had said and who you said did it, but still, like, I don't know how. I didn't know who was the people that did it, because I'm like,
what?
Because you said right away at the beginning of the movie, they have this conversation and so-and-so, boom. And no, there wasn't that conversation at the beginning of the movie. It might have been early on, but I'm like thinking first or second scene, boom, here is the thing. And it wasn't that. So I'm like, did I miss it? What's going on? And then at one point, someone's like, oh, you got to check the loved ones. And I'm like, that's not what he means, is it? Is that what he means, or is it not what he means?
Now, you just watched it recently, so I could be wrong. But even when she's on the phone with the guy, doesn't she even say, like, oh, it's usually, like, the friend or the boyfriend? Like, I swear that got repeated a couple of different times.
It might have been. I don't remember super well. The other thing I have to take away credit from you for, again, was there was a line that you harped on. Like, there was a lot of bad writing in this, so I'll give more credit back to you in a second. But there was one line that you pulled out of it that you were like, this is so bad. And it was the sister. She's like, I went out and I tried every drug imaginable. So I'm ready for that line. And it's not that. It's more like an actual thing someone might say. She's like, I tried every drug I can get my hands on. I'm like, okay, that's a more realistic thing someone might say. It's not going to win you an Oscar for a screenplay, but it's not nearly as bad as what you said. So at that point, I'm like, wait, maybe this movie isn't as bad as Terrence was making it out to be. And then I don't remember what happened. I was like, oh, no, never mind. No, this does suck.
The movie's terrible. It is so bad.
It's lacking subtlety, you know?
Among other things.
That was my big problem with it, is that like with movies like this or like the Matrix reboot that they did recently, any of these reboots or meta movies, even like Deadpool is this way, and Deadpool, you can be like, oh, it's so funny that it's so meta, but I'm like, no, it's just beating you over the head with its self-awareness, and I don't want that. It doesn't make a good movie for me. There's a point of diminishing returns, and I think we as a culture have met that point. That
yes,
you might not like do it too much in your movie of like, oh, let me be meta, like a couple different jokes, but because we've seen so much media that is meta, it's tired for me, and I don't want to see it too much more.
Oh, it's so, especially with that movie, I can't, my brain hurts right now. I literally just got a headache because I'm rethinking about Scream.
And I'm sorry to do this to you, Terrence.
The acting was so bad. So bad. And the one mean guy that only shows up, like, now everybody, if you've seen the original Scream movie, yes, in every single Scream, there is always like a quote unquote murder at the beginning of the movie. There's always that first character, like in the first one, it was Drew Barrymore. Going into it originally, you're like, okay, like she's going to be in the movie. She's only in the movie for the first 5 minutes. She gets killed off. So that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there is a character in the movie. It's a guy. He's a like the bad boy, I guess you could say. I don't know. He literally is only on screen for maybe 6-7 minutes, and then they kill him off. And he's actually a good actor, too. I felt like he was one of the better actors, and they just killed him off.
Yeah, I had never been like in the camp of Nev Campbell and Courtney Cox and David Cox Arquette are like good actors, but the cheese or Jamie Kennedy, who is also in those movies, but the cheese of it worked for the time period, but it's just, it doesn't translate to now. It doesn't work for me. And I didn't think that this movie was great. I did feel like, the other reason why I thought that the one person who the guy that was the murderer is because he looks like he's Randy Quaid's son. No, Dennis Quaid's son, not the crazy one. Dennis Quaid's son.
I was like, what?
So wow. I was like, he looks like, you know, Dennis Quaid, of course, because he's his son. But then like you mix him with like Joshua Jackson a little bit.
Oh, I could see that. Yep.
Yeah.
Honestly, that movie is just so horribly bad. I'm telling you right now, if you go see this movie, shame on you, okay? Shame on you. I hope a curse befalls you.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's too much. Too much, Terrence. I listen to movies on a Monday, and then I got cursed, and I don't like it.
Okay. It's one thing to be like, oh, I love bad movies. But it's another thing when somebody tells you, yeah, this is going to be horrible. Like, I know when a movie's bad, but that's just my opinion of it being bad. But then there's a whole other like, no, this is just horrible. This is just not good at all. This is one of those movies where it's not good. And if you go see it hoping that it's something better, like Matt, I tried to tell you, I tried to be honest. This is a bad movie, but things are going to happen to you now.
You do over-exaggerate. And there's a couple points in your argument that I was like, yeah, that was the over-exaggeration. But your overall point does stand. It did suck. And so again, those points for you. But speaking of really bad movies that, you know, it's not like, oh, I just didn't like it. It's just, it really is bad, objectively. We're going to jump back to 2002, because that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about, like, movies we were looking forward to in 2002, or movies that surprised us, or movies that were like, I hope this is good, and it ended up being good. But I feel like we just need to, when we're talking about movies that we expected to be great, and we went in with high expectations for that summer of 2002, there's one very obvious movie that jumps to our mind, and that is, of course, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. This is a great place to start off, right, Terrence?
But just real quick, it's crazy to think, so 2002 was 20 years ago.
Yep.
If we were to go to 2002 and somebody was like, hey, we're going to talk about movies 20 years before, That would be what, 1980-something?
1982. How hard is that math? How hard was that math? The minus 20 years from 2002.
I wasn't thinking about that. But that was when I was born. I would have been like, no, there's no way we're talking about any good movie. Now, there are two or three from 1982 that kind of hold over that actually they re-released that summer of 2002, at least one that I know of. But
what movie are you talking about that you like?
E.T. They re-released E.T. in 2002. But other than that, and the reason why I make this point is because we can go back 20 years and there are some actually really good movies that still stand the test of time that came out in 2002. Now, when we're talking about letdowns, of course, Star Wars Episode II, horrible. It was the best one, I think, out of all of them.
Oh, wow.
You're right. Yeah, my bad.
I thought it was the worst out of them because the dialogue was so insufferable. Yeah. Actually, the dialogue of 3 might actually have been worse than the dialogue of 2. But like dialogue of 2 had like that whole, I hate sand, it's coarse. And again, like it had that whole thing that he went into. Here's what was good about episode 1. Cause like we were like let down by episode 1 too, 100%. Yeah. And I feel like the letdown of episode 1 was greater than the letdown of episode 2 because it was one of those, I was hurt by episode 1. So I'm going to be a little bit nervous about episode 2. And they're like, well, don't worry, we'll have less Jar Jar Binks. And you're like, that's a start. Mm-hmm. But episode 1, at least there was some great things about episode 1. The pod racing scene was phenomenal. Liam Neeson was really good as Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah. Pretty much everything about Darth Maul was really good. Right. So there's like a couple things you're like, oh, this is really cool. There's a lot of crap. But as a kid, when I saw it as a kid, I'm like, yeah, this is good enough. And so then I was a little older, saw Star Wars Episode II, and the opening sequence through the city of Coruscant was pretty cool. But again, there's a lot. Ewan McGregor does as good of a job as he can do with his dialogue, and everyone else can't. There's no one else in this movie that can even make it work.
Yes, and poor Hayden Christensen, like, he already wasn't a great actor. It was like, you're okay, but it was like, this just made an, I'm sure this really hurt his career, because it was like, man, not only is this a bad written movie, but we just saw you are a really bad actor, probably way more than we should have, but it was really bad. And matter of fact, as I'm thinking about it right now, I don't know if there was a memorable scene where I remember, maybe the end where they're shooting all the clones start attacking.
That there was some cool stuff at the end there. And you might have been like, oh, that was so cheesy. But there was something kind of cool to see Yoda tap into the Force and then hold his own against Dooku. It was a little off-putting. You're like, oh my gosh, this little green Muppet is bouncing around all over.
The CGI was terrible.
That's true. But at the same time, it was like, it's hard to judge CGI at any point. You know, you have to hold it up to the things of its time, and there are other things of its time that were equally as bad, but yet at the same time there's also like Jurassic Park from 7 years before that, and that CGI still holds up today. So I mean,
or even in 2002, now don't get me wrong, Scooby-Doo, I was not a fan of it, but the CGI in that, they the whole time he's talking to a dog, it wasn't that bad. It was pretty good.
Maybe the Scooby-Doo has the benefit of your use of it as a cartoon, so your suspension of disbelief is already out there. It definitely does not look like a real dog.
I don't think it was meant to be looking like a real dog.
Correct, but. And that's why I think they could get away with maybe not as high quality. But yeah, and it's funny is that this movie too, there was a young actress named Keira Knightley that was in Star Wars Episode II as Natalie Portman's decoy, the Padme's decoy, that she gets blown up right at the beginning. But now you're like, oh, Keira Knightley, you went on to do great things. Good job.
Well, ever since then, that movie messed me up, because now I have a hard time telling them apart. And they are very different, but still, yes. At the same time, I'm like, who is that? Natalie Portman, Keira Knightley? I don't know.
Natalie Knightley. That's her name.
But that movie was, I already wasn't looking forward to that movie that much. So that wasn't as big of a letdown like you're saying. But for me, one of the big letdowns, since I am a huge Will Smith fan, was Men in Black 2. That was terrible. Oh my gosh. Like, and Men in Black 1 was awesome. So already expectations were up there. Will, he had his new song, Back in Black. It was like, this is the repeat of success just a few years earlier. We were all ready to go back. And we went there and it was bad. It was like that almost tanked the franchise. I honestly think they could have easily just been done after that and nobody would have cared. They would have been like, oh, that was bad. But
it's a Balchinian.
It actually says that the guy has balls on his chin. That's just so unnecessary.
It's absurd. What's funny too is they brought David Cross back for this as a completely different character than this one in the first one.
I'm like, why? Why would you do that? And I think what made the first one so well was the villain. Vincent D'Onofrio, he did such a good job.
Yes.
Like, at the time he was in that show, what was it? It's not NYPD. It's Law and Order.
Maybe.
Was it Law? Yeah.
You can just say something and I'll be like, yeah, he was in that. Sure.
So he was this TV actor at the time, but he plays this alien in Men in Black. Did amazing. I don't even remember. The bad guy in this one was just, I don't even remember. It was that model girl, like the maid
of vines, and then saw the model image like, oh, I'm going to look like that.
Oh, gosh. And see, and people will use that as an excuse to say that women can't be villains in movies. I don't think that, but that was bad. That was really bad.
She was a bad villain. Like, the actress didn't have a lot of personality in it. And then the character design on paper is intelligent. Like, this snake, like, whatever creature that can look like other things. I can see that. That's a fine idea on paper. It's a better idea on paper than a giant cockroach in a body of Edgar from the first one. But it didn't translate. And I think maybe it was the actress. I don't know if it was the writing at all, but I just know the actress. We definitely needed someone else.
Oh, gosh.
Now,
what about for you? What was the letdown?
Now, bear with me, because I was 14. And so when I saw Men in Black 2, I liked it at the time. Now I look at it now and I'm like, yeah, it definitely lacked a lot of substance. There were still some good jokes. I mean, it still had a lot of humor in it. There was, again, some of those absurd jokes, like the Balchinian one, for example. I'm like, this is really stupid, but I laughed. And the plot is a bit of the whole scavenger hunt idea, and like getting Kay back and everything. It was very forced. And I can readily admit that. I still, like, as I look at it, I'm like, yeah, it didn't have there was some really, really smart subtlety of the first one. The first one was really, like, even just that one scene on the bench when he's talking about, like, joining MIB, there was so much depth to that scene, and there was nothing like that in this movie. And it traded that out for some cheap gags. And again, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it definitely can understand how, when the first one did such a good job, this is just the worst parts of being a sequel.
And it's not Will's worst movie per se, but it is pretty bad. It's bad. Not Scream bad, but bad.
So I was commenting to you right before we started how this, like, really surprised me. Now, I don't know which of these are summer movies, so forgive me here on this one. But I remember, like, this was a year that there was a lot of Eddie Murphy movies for some reason. Eddie Murphy had, like, three different comedies this year, and they're all pretty bad. And probably the more notorious one, like the it was the biggest box office bomb for a while because of the budget for it was Adventures of Pluto Nash. But I was actually more excited about this one movie with him and Robert De Niro called Showtime, where Robert De Niro was like this grizzled cop, and he got in some sort of trouble or something about like something going on. So he was kind of in the crap house for his job. And this happened at the same time as this TV company wanted to do like this cops type show where they follow cops. But you know, Robert De Niro, grizzled, hardened veteran sort of guy. And Eddie Murphy is a cop, but he's also like, I don't mind being famous. I want to be cool. I joined this to be kind of cool like that. And then like the director of these episodes is William Shatner. And and so it's like, oh, this on paper should be a great idea. And I watched it and I can't remember too much from the movie. I watched like a couple, I remember a couple different scenes, but there was a lot that was so forgettable. I just remember being like, oh, that's what I wanted to watch. Okay.
That's it. Right. Yeah. It was, I barely remember it, but I do know what you're talking about. But yeah, you were actually looking forward to that movie.
I was. I like the concept was right up my alley. I just liked everything about it. I don't remember if this is before Rush Hour or not, but I liked that sort of dynamic. The the wisecracking tug guy and the grizzled like herb. I mean, we just had Men in Black 2 that year, and so that's the exact same dynamic with those two. But it just didn't work.
I can see that. I think for me, and I'm just looking on this list right now, I honestly, I've been looking, and there is over like 120 something movies. One of the movies that I remember I was excited about that came out in 2002 was Jason X. Now, I'm a huge horror fan. I love horror movies. And Jason, Friday the 13th, that is like one of the foundations of modern slasher films. And so it's like, oh man, they're bringing Jason to space. I was, when I heard that, I was a little like, that seems a little unnecessary, but it's Jason. Why not? That movie, oh my gosh. It actually might be so bad it's good. Like, it was a really, it threw me off, and it made me like really upset that I wasted my money to go see this, just because it should have already, like, I should have already known that. First of all, when you have a Friday the 13th movie or Jason, you don't put it in April. That's crazy. Like, that is the purely, it's coming out near October, September timeframe, but they knew this will not go well for us. So they saved it for April. And it did not go well. They should have
released nice of them. It
on April 1st. That's what they should have did. Because it was a joke. It was really, really bad. And even that year, we had another Halloween reboot. And that was better than Jason X. And the Halloween reboot. This is how bad the Halloween
was. That the H2O one?
It was Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that was the H2O one. H2O1.
I just remember that one is like Halloween H2O, and I'm like, okay.
Well, and get this. So this is what that Halloween movie that came out in 2002 was so bad that in these new ones that have come out, they totally ignored it. They were like, nope, that had nothing to do. We're not even taking that. So
it's a dream. It's a dream. Whole thing.
Nothing happened. So to say that Jason X was worse than that, that's pretty bad. It was bad.
All right, I want to end our disappointment section with a very unpopular opinion. Now, we talked earlier about like movies that just plain out suck. This is, to some people, a great movie, and so I'm stepping on some toes, but I personally did not enjoy Lilo and Stitch. It was not like the sort of movie that resonated with me. I know that's a blasphemy for people, but I watch it and I'm like, oh, okay. It was fun. I thought the ad campaign for Lilo and Stitch was better than the actual movie itself.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I did not watch Lilo and Stitch. It was 2002. I was already 19, 20 years old. But I do remember that this was one of the first movies, animated movie that I ever heard was affected by 9/11.
Yep.
And this movie, if you guys have never seen Lilo and Stitch, at the end, there's this whole like space flying, shooting stuff scene. And in the movie, they're going through the jungle or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because it takes place on Hawaii. So they moved it away from mainland. But originally, it was going to be like flying through like a more urban center. And like it would like scrape, the spaceship would scrape against like wings. Actually, I think it was even a plane that they had. Like yeah. It was scrape against buildings. And they changed the imagery and everything to a spaceship, and they changed it out of the urban setting because they didn't want it to be so closely paralleling 9/11.
Yeah. And so I remember that about that movie, and even thinking about that, 2002 was in the aftermath of 2001. So I obviously 2001, 2002. But I never really realized that until now. And looking at the movies that have come out, I don't know. I'm trying to rethink that year of just going back and thinking about those movies and how, if I was to go back today, I think I have a different feel about some of these movies that came out. But I think, I'm looking at the sum of all fears that came out in 2002. I'm like, yeah, I remember. I was like, I'm not going to see that. I'm already scared enough. Why would I want to go see another political thriller? This is ridiculous.
Now, I've got a great segue for talking about movies that were worth the hype or that were really good. And it ties into exactly what you're talking about. I feel like one of the best movies in that post 9/11 era before, that still took advantage of that camaraderie and that goodwill was Spider-Man. That came out in 2002. And it did get delayed. And if you can find it online, you can find like an original trailer that got removed that showed like these bad guys escaping in a helicopter. And then they got caught in this giant web that Spider-Man put up in between the two towers. And so they're like, obviously we can't do that. So there's a lot that they did. I don't know how much it affected its story, but I'm pretty sure that one of the key moments came from this that they had to do reshoots would be my guess was when Green Goblin is going to attack him for the last time on the bridge and knock him down, and then he gets hit by like a can from all these New Yorkers on the bridge, and they're like, you're going to attack Spider-Man, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. And it was such a great camaraderie moment of seeing like all these New Yorkers banding together to fight Green Goblin, or just to distract him so that Spider-Man could get his strength back together. And it took full advantage of that feeling. And I'm like, this ended up being a very powerful movie moment because of what had happened and the setting and timing it was taking place.
Yeah. No, Spider-Man, obviously, that was a huge, I was already looking forward to that. I would think, at least for the summer, that movie exceeded my expectations, because up until that point, any superhero movie we saw, it was like, okay, that was lame. But Spider-Man, that was like, wow, they actually got this right. And if you look at it today, it doesn't have that same feel, just because we're in a different age. I wouldn't even say the graphics or the CGI. CGI, it still looks good.
Yeah.
I think just story-wise, we're at a different time now where people are looking for different things in our story. But back then, especially after 9/11, we were looking for something hopeful. We were looking. We didn't want something dark because, oh my gosh, it was already very dark.
Yep.
And so, it was good. Spider-Man was an awesome movie.
I've got more movies that exceeded my expectations from that summer. Is there one that you've got?
Signs. I did not see Signs coming. It was like, oh, all right, he's going to M. Night Shyamalan's got a new movie, but I don't understand what it is. And when I saw
circles,
crop circles, it was like, okay. But man, that movie, I saw it three times that summer. That's how good it was. And you know how good it was? I saw it three times. I was broke. I was not like a kid that was getting money from my parents. At that point in time, I had my own job and I was broke. And I still spent the money to see that movie three times. It was good.
Yeah, Signs is, to I don't feel like it's it's too much of a stretch to say that that's his best movie, whether objectively or not. I feel like it's M. Night Shyamalan's best movie. I know a lot of people love Sixth Sense or Unbreakable, but I think he hit his peak on Signs and has not quite reached that back again. He's had some other good ones since then, but that was, he peaked on Signs, and it was just a wonderful film. We talked about this one. It was on both of our top 100 lists. Yeah. There's a lot to love about it. But that, even then, as good as Signs was, that wasn't even the best movie of the summer. The best movie of the summer for me was Tom Cruise in Minority Report. Yes. That was a movie that I did not expect. And I love Spider-Man. Don't get me wrong. Spider-Man was fantastic. I just remember not expecting Minority Report to blow me away the way it did. And I fell in love with the world that Spielberg set up, and it felt very lived in. It felt very fleshed out. And there was like a shiny exterior of it, but then you also saw the seedy underneath part of it. And it was very well mirrored in Tom Cruise as a person or a character of both sides of that. And not only that, but it had a really solid gimmick of the pre-crime and preventing that. And then all of that added, there was like this other plot simmering underneath the main plot, and they wrap up this main plot with like 40 minutes still left, and they're like, oh, by the way, there's this other twist. Boom. Yeah. And yeah, it was so good.
It was good. I just remember that movie. I remember the tagline, everybody runs, and it's like it was good. It was good marketing, knowing that Steven Spielberg was behind it. Yep. That's why I wasn't too like caught off guard by that movie, just because it was Steven Spielberg, and at that time Steven Spielberg was still like a huge name. Everybody knew, knocking out of the park. I think now he doesn't bring that same excitement to it. I think for old people like you and me. Or you and I.
Thank you for including yourself in it. Instead of just being, for old people like you, Matt, you lame face.
I was trying to have proper English, okay? I was trying. I don't think it gives off that same feeling when you see a Steven Spielberg movie now. But back then, it was like, oh, yeah, he's got another movie coming. And sure enough, it was really good. Minority Report. We talked about it before. It put things in the future that we didn't even know that we're going to have, but it foresaw it.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Anything else on your list, T-Rex?
Obviously, The Bourne Identity was a big game changer, especially in the aftermath of 9/11 as well. That movie benefited from that timing, I think. And unfortunately for some minorities in the country, it did not benefit it really well. But it was still a good movie. But one of the movies that I fell in love with was Road to Perdition.
Before we get into Road to Perdition, I just wanted to say real quick, it's really funny because Bourne Identity ushered in a brand new era of spy action hero. And we also saw in 2002 the end of like this other type of that spy action hero with Austin Powers Goldmember making fun of that classic James Bond, like, oh, I'm so suave, blah, blah, blah. Instead, it's now like the Bourne Identity, like, I have all of these skills. And we see like Taken, Liam Neeson, the same type of character. You have these very highly skilled elite assassins or heroes that can do no wrong versus the I just get by on my charm and my wits and all that sort of stuff.
Right. No, it was Bourne Identity was a game changer. And I think even in the moment, it's real easy to look back and go, oh, yeah, that was big. But I think even in that moment, I was like, whoa, that was different. That I was like, that was actually really good. But Road to Perdition for me, it was on my top 100. Tom Hanks, just a movie about an old school mobster gangster. He's like the hitman for the mob. He's doing his job. His son comes the sneaks to watch him kill somebody. His mob boss is like, well, we got to kill your kid. And so they just go on the road. So good. If you have not seen Road to Perdition, you got to see this movie. It people slept on this movie, and you shouldn't have. You should have saw it, but it's great.
Yeah, I didn't see Road to Perdition in 2002. I actually only watched it like a year ago or 2 years ago or something like that because it was on your top 100. But I heard a lot of people be like, oh, you've got to watch it. I'm like, eh, I'll get to it. And then I did. I eventually got there. Good news.
You didn't lie. You did.
So I know that our plans was talk about 2002 summer movies. You did bring up, just real quick, you did bring up Scooby-Doo. I have no idea how that movie aged because I only saw it the one time in theaters. And I remember being disappointed by it in theaters. But knowing that it was written and directed by James Gunn and having the sense of humor I have now, I wonder what it would be like going back. I kind of want to rewatch the Scooby-Doo movie and see if it was as bad. Because the only thing I remember walking away from with that movie would be like, Matthew Lillard was born to play Shaggy. He killed it in that film.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, he did. Yeah. No. And I didn't like pay too much attention to it, but still, CGI, way better.
So I wanted to real quick, we've talked about like, what are some of the best years for movies? And this year actually came up because like we talked about some of the stinkers. We started off with our disappointments. There were some disappointments, but this year had like some of the best movies ever. Now this isn't one of the best movies ever, but one of the revolutionary movies in terms of horror that caught people by surprise was The Ring in the October of that year. Yeah. And I remember when that came out and everyone's reaction of like, they were thrown off by it, did not realize what they're getting into and how much better it was than they expected. And it got parodied all over. And you can always tell how big and popular something is based on the, back in the day, we called it parodies. Now you would call them memes. And so we didn't have memes back then.
It's true. Well, it was, The Ring was so scary. And it was so like, it was one of the first Japanese like movies that got translated over that they redid story-wise that I know of that hit it really big. And The Ring, to this day, I still have nightmares of that girl coming out of the TV and just, it goes to show, the movie wasn't gory either. It was just so jacked up.
Yeah, like, it was that psychological horror because it wasn't like in your face jump scares. Even when she came through the TV, that wasn't so much a jump scare because you crossed through slowly. But the creepy idea of that happening and seeing this happen, I remember my dad, because I saw this at our house, my parents, and my dad, like, he doesn't get into movies so much, but there's been like a few that he did. And this is one where he goes, oh, I'm like, all right, dad.
Oh,
dad, Jesus. You realize this isn't real. This is all fake. It's going to be okay.
I didn't realize Blade 2 came out in 2002. And that was good. That was probably the best Blade that they had.
I've never watched a Blade movie.
You gotta at least watch the first one. The first one, well, the second one. If you're gonna pick anyone, pick the second one. But the first one is still really good.
I saw a clip of it like as I was flipping through channels, and then the bad guy, I think this was Blade One, like dancing in like this rave of like this wave, like the raining blood on him. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm gonna watch this ever in my life.
Well, that's like the opening scene. Opening? After that, yeah, it literally is the opening scene. But after that, it's really good. And it has a great story. I think they wasted their best story on that first movie. But and this is why people got excited about them adding Blade to the MCU now. Just because for some reason, they're adding like all their like, not even B characters. I would have thought MCU would have started off. We all know the behind the scenes where this company had these rights. And so I felt like the MCU started off with their B characters. And now they're like, you know what? We're going to do even better. We're going to our C characters. We have our A characters that we haven't done yet.
You've seen Spider-Man, and that should hold you over for a while. We'll get to X-Men and Fantastic Four. You just wait.
But Blade, you would really think Blade would be a part of that C character, but he really, this is what started it, because he was really good. That was a really good movie. And it didn't advertise itself as a Marvel movie at the time. It was just Blade. And it was like, it was good.
I will see when it comes out, because Mahershala Ali, he has like that, so he's so cool, and he can play like super suave, and I feel like that's, it's a different type of suave, but is like there's this swagger and this suave that Blade has, and I know Snipes brought that to the role of mother effers always be trying to upskate or ice skate uphill or whatever. Because it's true, they do.
There's so many classic lines in that movie.
The end of 2002 is like, it has two of my top five movies. I think Catch Me If You Can is in my top five. But two out of my top five movies on my 100 list came out in 2002, and that was Catch Me If You Can. Again, Steven Spielberg, double dips. Two amazing movies in the same year. And one Oscar bait and one more like... entertainment and blockbuster, and so that those were great movies. And then of course Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, again to me my favorite Lord of the Rings. I know that's not the everyone, but I love Two Towers more than the other two. It was so good.
Return of the King though won an Oscar.
It won a lot of Oscar. I think it won every Oscar that it could have won.
And that's how good it was.
But at the same time, the Academy was also like, well, this is for all of them. I guarantee you that was the thinking. I was like, we didn't give it for the other two. We'll give it for all of these.
I could see that. A couple other movies I was looking at. Resident Evil. Not like Resident Evil 99, but like the very first Resident Evil movie that I thought up until that point was the best video game adaption we had seen.
The first Resident Evil was strong. I liked it. Yeah. It was close enough to the story of the video games without being a copycat. It had its own spin on stuff, but it had a lot of the similar beats and similar ideas.
Yes. And so that it was like, just looking back and everything, we've had way worse years for movies for sure. Yep. But this list is not a bad list. There's a lot of things I remember getting myself excited for. I don't know if you guys saw 40 Days and 40 Nights with Josh Hartnett, and it was them being stuck in Alaska. And I guess there's a time in Alaska that it goes dark for 40 days, no sun. And so that movie was about like vampires coming to this town and they have to survive. I thought that was a great movie.
Your beloved 28 Days Later came out in 2002.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so good. Oh,
you act like it's a little baby. Oh, my cute little 2000. Oh, it's trying to eat me. It's a little zombie trying to eat me.
It's a little 2002 zombie.
Look at how cute it is.
Oh, my baby's been born in August. Oh, I'm going to have a new baby at 40 years old.
You're so old.
I know.
Well, speaking of old, we went back, looked at these movies 20 years ago because Top Gun just came out, hit some great records. Everyone I know is like, this is so good. Some people are like, this might be one of my favorite movies ever. And I'm amazed at that. I know because of all the reviews and the word of mouth, I know I'm going to enjoy it. I know it's going to be good. I don't know how high my enjoyment will soar. I really hope I don't go in and like, this just isn't for me. That would suck. I would be upset. I've allowed my hope to get up. But
it's not going to be a scream. Okay. Nothing could be as bad as Scream. That was the worst movie of the year, for sure.
So I think, Terrence, we're going to talk about that next week. I know it's a little late for... It's so funny how fast like technology moves and information moves. It's like, it's only going to be a week past its opening date, but it'll still feel like, oh, it's a little late. We missed out on jumping in on the craze of Top Gun.
Well, if you're waiting to go see it, then, hey, next week is going to be your week because we'll be able to talk about it. I'm going to see this movie. I will find a way. It's a crazy week, but I'm going to find a way.
And we'll count the black people.
See time. Yep, count them. In the trailer, I've already counted two. So This is way better than the first.
Yep, there it is. That's already twice as good.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, tell us, were you even alive in 2002? What movies would you go see? Other than that, I'm Terrence. Matt. And we're telling you, doesn't matter what the year is, go watch some movies, okay? There are a lot of great ones that you probably haven't watched. Go watch them. Oh, Harry Potter came out in 2002. That's crazy. What are you even talking about?
For the outro.
That?
You can't bring up new movies in the outro.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.